Welcome into another episode of 5 Foot Nothing. 100. No, oh, wait, no.
Wait,
welcome. Welcome into the Chopper Beef Show. I am the Beef. Casey the Beef Regan. Thanks so much for joining us. We got this week. Which hand is it? That guy. He's here.
Oh, this. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy. JJ in Tampa's with me. We're missing one, but you
got the beef.
You got the cool creepy eyes up top that's going to stare at you throughout the whole show. But we appreciate you checking in with us, both of you, right now. Creepy. It's awesome that my phrase was always both of you. Well, we got two people on tonight, so thank you for joining us, both of you. Kevron, great to see you.
Kevron,
good to see you every week. We love having you as our first guest, always, or our first comment, always. Much appreciated. Truly, truly. Go Tigers. Go Oceanside Academy.
Good job.
Yeah. Anyway, what's up, Jeff? What's up?
It's just the holidays, man. Everyone's bright and happy and buying shit. And I think we ought to tell all the kids out there who really Santa Claus is.
Did you tell them?
No, I think we should, though.
All right, go ahead. Please do.
All right, for everyone listening out there, all you little children, Santa, that fat, jolly guy who you think can fit down your chimney, and you hear him making toys for you, cussing in the middle of the night with a staggering voice and stammering. It's your parents! They buy all that crap because they love you. Just happy holidays.
That's why we love to send our children to Uncle Heffy's day camp.
It's called reality.
Eddie Locke and checking in. You know we love you, pal. You know it. You know it.
Do you think we lost both listeners?
Just one. Kevron. Once you started talking about Santa, Kevron was out the door. Poor Kevron. He's such a good guy.
It's
anyway.
Going in debt with credit cards.
Yeah, it really is. So speaking of pulling in debt with credit cards, I flew to the reason we didn't have a show last week was because I was in New Orleans. I was actually in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Laurel, Mississippi, Ellisville, Mississippi, and then New Orleans. I was flying back. We drove back Thursday evening, right. Got a hotel, spent the night in New Orleans, flew out Friday morning.
Where do you spend the night in Laurel?
We're in Hattiesburg. So we stay in Hattiesburg, but the office is in kind of Ellisville or Laurel.
So there's nice barns.
Yeah, like it's everything that you think about rural Mississippi. Like your thoughts are right.
Overalls, old plaid beat up shirts,
old pickup trucks.
Someone playing a harmonica somewhere in the background.
I never saw that exactly, but it's like you go into like the downtown area and it's got, you know, like the post office, the pharmacy.
Right.
You know, no chains really. You got the meet and three kind of places. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cool for
somebody like that's never been there,
but it is kind of back in time. Hattiesburg's a little better than that way because there's a college there, so there's a little bit of life. Most of the people live around Hattiesburg. Otherwise, you know,
right,
won't see people for years. But anyway, so we.
That's a background.
We get down to New Orleans on Thursday night, and I returned my rental car. Good and job. So now I'm waiting for an Uber to get to my hotel, and the whole no one's working thing is real, because when I returned my rental car, there was one guy that was checking in and checking out people at the rental car places at an airport, which. Especially that airport. There's a lot of people coming in for tourism. So I pull in. I'm like the only person there returning, but he's in the booth. And he says, throw your keys onto the counter or onto the dashboard. And we'll send you a receipt.
I'm it's like awesome. Going to a high school party.
Yeah, pretty much. Because like the line for checkout, the people that just rented their car was probably 16 to 20 cars deep. And it was just this guy doing it.
Oh.
So anyway, I do that. Fast forward to today, I've gotten calls every single day from Hertz Rent-A-Car saying that my car is still outstanding and needs to be returned. So I've, and I'm still getting charged for it every day. So this is fun. This is what I've been dealing with. I retired from my position on Wednesday.
You're retired? You're done?
Yeah, for 4 days.
I was going to say, Social Security retirement. Taking care of everything? That's nice.
Yeah. You know, I live on the island now. I'm going to, you know, start renting out umbrellas or something.
You are so living the dream.
Not umbrellas like that you carry for rain or on the beach. No, umbrellas for your drinks. I'm going to start selling umbrellas for your drinks.
I can get you those.
Dude, we can make a business. Let's do it.
Again, right. Let's do it. And the little toothpicks and stuff. We could do this.
Yeah.
Anyway. Can grabbing the Grinch's crotch?
Anytime. No. Anytime I call these Hertz people, they're not from America. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, we confirmed that your car's in. Okay, well, you're good. You'll get a receipt any day now. And then a day later, here come the calls again. Then here another day, here come the calls again. So where's my car, Jeff?
Well, you left it in New Orleans, so it's stolen. It's gone.
It's just gone.
You had it's in a chop shop somewhere, already destroyed. Some guy in an orange vest came in, saw the keys, and like, hey, I got a car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a nice one, too. It was a Nissan Murano.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. I had a guy from Chicago in it, a guy from Cleveland, and a gal from Dallas in the car. We had a good time, although I had to pee, surprisingly enough, on the way from Mississippi, and I was driving. So yeah, I pulled off, and I waited too long to pull off the highway. So I pulled off on the outskirts of New Orleans.
Right.
And I pulled into this like little tiny strip mall. It had like two stores in it. And the guys in the car are like, well, you're going to pee here? I'm like, yeah, I'll just open the door and just go right here. And like, I'm not, they didn't really know me. Right. So I'm like,
probably sorry to see you go.
And my lights are shining down those like the side of the building, and there's two dudes that are kind of like in this alley, like the head sticking their heads out. The guys in my car started losing their shit, man. They were like, "It's a drug deal! It's a drug deal! You can't sit here! It's a drug deal!"
Wait! One of them was from Chicago, and he's never seen a drug deal before. Come on!
I'm like, dude, it's New Orleans, like that. You know,
the last time I was in Chicago, I had a conversation with a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
But I was getting out of Streeters and trying to find my hotel. So,
did he try to sell you anything?
Yeah, he did. And I said, you know, he had the dreads. He had the gold teeth. He was wearing, you know, his pants past his ass. You know what I'm saying? Had him down. And I said, you're a circus clown. How can anyone take your business seriously?
Oh, you were schooling him on how to be a good businessman.
Right. I said, if you're going to sell drugs, I look at you and I said, I'm going to see twigs and seeds. That's all I'm getting out of you by just appearance. Clean up the hair, get rid of the grill, kind of dress a little nicer, pull up your pants. I bet you're going to sell more dope. People are going to take you more seriously. I still bought a bag. I mean, wait a minute.
There you go. Life lessons.
He gave me a discount.
You should teach an entrepreneurship class at the University of Tampa.
For urban students.
Yeah, that could happen. I thought the way you were talking, you were describing Eddie Lockett.
Except there's no hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Once he does wear his pants past his ass, though.
Yeah.
Poor bastard. That's special, though. Well, he has a white man's ass.
Yeah.
Which is none.
Speaking of white man's asses, the playoffs started up in, or they're going to start up, but we've missed so many daggone weeks of this show.
I thought you were going straight to coaching.
No, pretty soon. Okay. I'm going down the list tonight because we went out to dinner a little while ago, had a couple pops, you know, so like I have to really go A, B, C.
I get it. You know, I don't want you to think too hard.
E.
J.
JJ. Where the hell is Locks? You know,
hiking anyway. Again. Who thought he'd get in with nature again?
Is he really hiking? I didn't even know that.
That's what he anyway. Says. Yeah.
Playoffs are here. Playoffs are coming. Playoffs are announced. We haven't even gotten here really for the show. We got number one Bama, number two Michigan.
Yeah.
Number three Georgia.
Georgia.
Number four Cincinnati.
Right.
Screwed me up this whole math thing here. So we got Bama, Cincinnati, and Georgia and Michigan.
Right.
What do you think of these games?
Well, first, I like to say at the beginning of the year, who had Cincinnati going to the playoffs? Who picked it?
I shred every ounce of paper that comes out of this show. So I don't know. I'm guessing by your brevity, it was you.
By my humbleness?
By your humble abode. Oh, wait, no.
Who picked him to beat Notre Dame?
You?
This guy. So anyway, God, I love to see Cincinnati have a chance against Alabama.
Bama's down there. One of their top receivers, probably Jameson Williams. He's playing.
Yeah.
Mechie's hurt.
Mechie's hurt. Cincinnati has one of the top 10 offenses and defenses in the country. I know they don't play anybody. I hear you, you know. I think Michigan can surprise people. I think they can surprise Georgia. Not beat them bad, but beat them. I didn't realize how much speed those running backs have at Michigan. Holy smoke, they are fast. They're real fast. And that's something Big Ten football usually doesn't have. You know, and I don't know. It's just, once again, everyone gets hopes on Georgia, and then they turn around and become Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't slay the dragon. Kirby Smart proves he's a good coach, not a great coach, not like his old boss.
Never beaten him.
He's never beaten him. So it's, you know, if I had my dream of dreams, it'd be Cincinnati and Michigan. And that's funny. Baseball preview next week. Next week.
Sorry, Stead. Yeah, jump in next Thursday. We'll be doing
the baseball preview.
Baseball.
Right. Is there going to be a season?
Have you seen my baseball?
The baseball.
I like the offseason, with the fireside chats. What do they call it? The
winter meetings?
Yeah, where there's a lot of movement, players signing. Yeah. But because of the impending lockout, no one's signing anything. So
yeah, it's crazy.
They had the early run there, and then all of a sudden the talks have really shut down. So I love that that starts happening. But
I can see Bama playing Michigan with no issue whatsoever.
Mister, who you think's gonna win these games? You think it's gonna be Bama, Georgia? Tell us in the chat.
He's gone already?
No.
Well, what do you think? You watch these games.
I do. I fear that it's going to be Bama, Georgia. I want it to be Cincinnati, Michigan. I think it's going to be Bama, Michigan.
Okay.
I know I'm all over the map there. I don't like to get pinned down. You know this. Don't put me in a corner.
No, it's just a gum stain. It's just a look right now. We got plenty of time to pick it when all the results happen, but right now, you know, I'd say Bama, Michigan.
I hope so. Georgia's good, man.
Georgia is good, but I just don't think they have the offense, kind of like Alabama proved, to score 24-28, you know, against top four. You know, that's
Georgia fans are talking about wanting to bench Stetson Bennett the 19th for JT Daniels. And so, you know, I'm thinking to myself, that's great and sounds great in theory, but the dude hasn't played in weeks. So, like, you think everyone's favorite player is always the backup quarterback, right? It's always.
Absolutely.
And JT Daniels transferred from USC, came to town. You thought he was going to be the starter. I guess in Kirby's mind, wasn't effective, gets a little dinged up. Stetson Bennett comes in, doesn't really mess it up, kind of game manager, mm-hmm. Alabama quarterback before this latest run of quarterbacks-esque. And here we are. Stetson Bennett loses last week. But I didn't think he was the reason they lost. I mean, that defense, which was so good all year long, Jordan Davis took plays off. And that defensive line wasn't good. They were gassed.
You noticed
picking Alabama on the DBs, which are really good.
Which is their weak? Well, as far as that defense goes, is Georgia's weakness.
Weak, but yeah, I know what you mean.
No, what they did was they stayed away from the defensive line. The quick pass, go three steps back and zing the ball, get the ball out of your hands, and just constant quick movement until a big play would open up. And that's, you know, that's just coaching. And I was kind of surprised in that game that Kirby didn't go to JT, because at least, you know, you're in the playoffs and at least you would have given him playing time. Because
yeah, but do you think they make that move now?
It just wasn't working out. And when you were watching that game, the offense just wasn't working out. And maybe a spark could have been lit somehow, some way. That's just me. I mean, sure. you're playing with house money at that time. And you might, you know, God, what was the Texas game? Was it Colt McCoy who got knocked out of the national championship game?
Yeah, like the first play.
First play. You might as well know what you're – if you're playing on house money, you know you're going to be in the playoffs – you might as well get these kids ready. And when it was like an 18-point lead or 20-point lead, it was like, we got to get them in, man.
Only we had a head football coach watching that could tell us, you know.
Yeah, you know.
What we're missing.
We need more headsets on while we do this show.
We do.
And you know, make us look more official.
We should get them in here one day.
Yeah, let's do that.
For our next year, for our high school football preview, we'll get both Eddie Lockett and Jason Winstead in here.
That'd be fantastic.
It would be.
So that's just my theory. Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean I'm wrong.
I just don't know how you go to him this late in the year, or that he's the answer. Like,
he's been practicing. I mean, he has been playing.
Right, but like, the fans know more than the coaches.
Absolutely not. No, but like I said, you're in that situation where you're getting clubbed. You've got to change something during the game, and you got to look for something that's going to give a positive result. And you know, if you don't, you're just going to get killed.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And doesn't mean JT would have came out and would have blew up the scoreboard. It just means, hey, you got to try something. You know, that's just it.
So we'll see what happens.
You know, I would have got, you know, the way Alabama's defense was playing, I would have got, you know, got Searsucker a sack, pop his helmet off and say, all right, he's out for a couple plays. You know, let's do a get him in the tent and then see what JT does.
We appreciate you. Go Braves. I think they won the World Series, but I'm not sure. We'll talk about it next week on our baseball preview. Thanks, Winnie.
Did they win the World Series?
I don't know. Allegedly.
No.
When is the World Series? Is that going to be right before our baseball preview?
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. How many teams are going to have in the playoffs if they play? 12, 15?
How many teams are in the league?
No, how many teams are going to be in the playoffs? Didn't they say that?
Are they
going to expand that?
That's one of the holding up factors. Of
crap.
Thing. Anyway.
So that's it. It's just Kirby wasn't wrong. He wasn't right. It just was opportunity there, you know.
I don't know. I keep saying it, but I just don't know. I think Georgia's going to be starting Stetson Bennett.
And I think so too.
He's going to start the game. But I think I really think the keys to that game is going to be if Michigan can move the ball. They got a couple really good receivers. They got a couple really good running backs. And the quarterback, he's okay. I mean, he's steady Eddie. He's all right.
Game manager.
Yeah, but he's a little bit more than that. He made a couple really nice throws against Ohio State when he had to. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think that's the better game. But the college football playoff has a way of making that game you think is supposed to be better a blowout. So I just hope that's not the case. You know my anti-SEC-ism. I really hope that this isn't a 2-SEC team again, because we saw that game. And I don't think I could see anything going differently.
Well, and here's another thing to think about is, you know, the last year's bowl game, Cincinnati-Georgia, that was a barn burner. And Cincinnati only lost by 3, and they pretty much brought everyone back.
Who's the DB? I think his name's Kobe Bryant. He won the Thorpe.
I think
the
you're
best
right.
DB. I think Kobe Bryant won the Thorpe Award for the best defensive back in the country. Mm-hmm. Which I like that because Mechie's hurt. Now, Alabama's got dogs all over the field, right?
But, I mean, they're 5. But
that's going to be a good one-on-one matchup, Jameson Williams versus Kobe Bryant.
That's right. And
They'll probably follow him across the field and see what happens. We saw what happened with Clemson's best DB last year, Darion Kendrick, against Chris Olave. Olave made Kendrick look really bad, so bad he had to transfer to Georgia.
And I just heard
that was a joke.
What?
I said he looked so bad he had to transfer to Georgia.
Oof. Does he have a record? Mm-hmm. I mean, as in police record. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's good. Good.
He wasn't dismissed from Clemson, but he wasn't really welcomed back. Winstead coached him, actually.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. No, Winstead coached him at South Point High School.
Well, give us a scouting report. You know?
He always said he was a little bit off. He was the quarterback there when Winstead was there. And the kicker, BT Potter, he just announced he's coming back to Clemson for his sixth year.
Hey, the quarterback for Pitt, Kirby, or what's his name?
Pickett, Kenny Pickett.
He said he's not going to play in the bowl game.
I know. Do you like that?
I understand the investment value. I don't like it, but I understand the investment value.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be the top three quarterbacks picked in the draft.
I think he up to stock to probably top, unless something comes. You know now, between now and actual – before he throws the ball again, something's going to happen. Someone's going to jump up ahead of him. But
yeah, it's.
He looked the most pro ready to me this year, man.
We're talking a lot of money. You know, I can't blame a kid. You know, as much as I mean, I would like think that I would play the game, but you're talking a lot of cash.
Yeah, we have this whole thing like you're leaving. I've heard it. I've seen it on Twitter. I've heard it from people. It's like you're letting your teammates down, and I'm behind that 1,000%.
Absolutely.
But as a fan, I hate it, man. I hate it. Play with your team. And as a former athlete, I hate it. Play with your team. Play with your teammates. Eddie Lockett says, I hate players sitting out. I do too. I mean, I get it. What Jeff just said, protecting the investment. However,
and also,
it still doesn't mean I have to like it.
Before there was teammates, there was family. Mm-hmm. You know, if he has a goal.
Well, no, here's my point. Which I didn't, yeah, I do. I do. But here's my point. They're playing in New Year's Six for the first time ever.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with
you.
And
this kid's going to sit.
And
they're probably going to lose. Like, I would put all my confidence point on Michigan State in that game.
Yeah.
Although, never mind. Their running back's not playing.
Their running back's sitting out. But didn't they have a dual threat running back? Or?
Yeah, but no one was Kenneth.
Yeah. But and this is a former Heisman Walker candidate, too. You know, Kirby was. So
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett. I'm sorry.
No worries. So we were talking too much Georgia before. You got Kirby.
Yeah, it got me confused. I was looking at my SAT scores. I don't like it, but I understand it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what do you do? You know, I'm with you though. I would play with my team, and then the second I heard my knee pop, I'd be like,
well, it's happened.
These guys.
That was the problem. It has happened one time before. It was Jake Butts. He was, and I think the guy from Notre Dame too, linebacker, played for Dallas. They saved him for a couple of years, but yes. He was projected to go like top 10 pick. Jake Butts, Michigan tight end, was projected to go first round.
Who was the Miami running back?
Oh,
McGahee.
Yep, Willis McGahee. Same idea. Like almost had a Bo Jackson style injury.
Yeah.
That was in the national championship. Like, you don't want to sit that one out.
I
but
understand.
These other two, the Notre Dame one was like the Pinstripe Bowl one year, and Pop would be able to help me out on that. But it probably wasn't Pinstripe. No, I think it was, actually. Anyway, and then the Michigan game was like the Outback Bowl or something. Mm-hmm. So
no, I get it. I mean, I understand it. Don't like it, but
yeah.
I understand it.
They all got paid. They probably lost millions by getting hurt, but they all got paid. McGahee got paid. He made a decent career for himself. I can't think of that daggum Notre Dame player. He was awesome. Golly.
I tell you who doesn't get paid.
Who's that?
The Army-Navy game.
Yeah, man. What a game.
Great game.
Why is that game always so good? Like, you know the old stupid phrase, you can throw the record book, you can throw the records out the window when these two play. Because Navy looked god-awful this year. And Army showed glimpses of, I think they almost beat Michigan. Or they
really
almost beat somebody. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you play against a team that I guess is pretty much the mirror image of you, and you have problems with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I love watching that game every year. I love it from beginning to end. I love the introductions, the game day show, all of it. It is great. And like I said, in a few months, you know, seniors are going to go get deployed. You know, they're getting assignments for, you know, to protect our rights and freedom. And it's just special. It really is special. It's a great game. It's one of those things I think it should be required for every American to watch. You know, it really should be. You don't have to watch all of it, beginning to end, or, you know, beginning and then the end of the game, and just to know what these kids do.
And the first couple of commercial breaks, too, because those are really good as well. Eddie Lockett chimes in saying, I think Navy's helmets were the best helmets on a football field ever.
Wow.
I will surprise you, Eddie, and say I agree. Those uniforms, really? Every year, those uniforms are fantastic. This year's, the Navy uniforms were just above and beyond. They had the...
I loved them, but they weren't my favorite Navies. I'll tell you, my favorite Navies are just... Yeah, they just... Those were cool ass, though. Don't get me wrong.
Well, they're going to start... They're doing this every year now where they're getting designed. So you're not going to see their traditional uniforms on Army-Navy.
Did you hear the story about the helmets with Navy during the game?
No, it was an artist, though, right? An artist.
It was an artist, and it took him 6 months to do all the helmets.
Because he hand-did them all, right?
That's pretty cool. So... No, I thought, you know, the both teams do such a great job honoring their history every year for the Army-Navy game, and it's great. And, you know, it is a special day. It really is.
It is special. It's a great
game.
And
it is a bucket list for me, for sure. One of these days.
I can't believe it was in Jersey this year, and I didn't even know. I wouldn't have been able to go. But, yeah, this is absolutely a bucket list thing, too, especially because you have all the cadets and the midshipmen all in the bottom bowl. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not even sure it's full up top, but it doesn't matter. Like, I would definitely go. Oh. No question. And it's in beautiful stadiums. Even MetLife's a beautiful stadium. It's a shithole outside it, but it's a beautiful stadium. And then even in Philly, they have a great spot, which is in the shithole outside. It's actually really pretty cool outside that area down there in South Philly. And then they'll do it in Baltimore, too, which is right there at the Inner Harbor. So that's a lot of fun, too.
Great area.
Well, the intros where all the students come in, it's really, really cool.
The Navy jets and then the Army helicopters.
Yeah, they bolted flyovers.
It's just a great. It is a great game, and it should be the only game on that weekend. It really should be.
As our old friend, as our old late friend used to say, gave me chill bumps.
Game of chill bumps, boys.
There's multiple chill bump moments in the Army Navy game.
Absolutely, you almost even get a little tear jerky. You know, the Navy SEAL that died, and the Navy guys honored the game for him, and you're just like, oh god, this guy was, you know, and he gets killed in an exercise.
Yep. Eddie chimes in again. The Pitt quarterback is sitting out to secure his paycheck, and the quarterbacks at Army and Navy will go put their life on the line for a paycheck. That's why I hate players sitting out. 100%. You know, it's funny, too. A few seasons ago or a year ago or so, I think it was actually 2 years ago, I was coming back from New Orleans.
Or
I was going to New Orleans. I said it on this show, too. There was a kid that was sitting next to me. His name's Colin Guggenheim. And Colin Guggenheim had just come off his official visit to Army and gave his verbal commitment. So, like, every year during the game, and he runs that offense, that triple option offense. So every year for the game, like last year's game, this year's game, I've looked on their roster, Army's roster. I haven't seen his – I didn't see his name last year. I didn't see his name again this year. I'll tell you why in a second. But the point of my story here is they don't have scholarship limits at Army and Navy because they don't have scholarships.
Yeah.
So they can have 1,000 kids on the team. Do you know Army has 10 quarterbacks on its roster?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
I mean, who knows?
You know, but they're running backs in high school, you know, just like pitch off, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. And that's what this Guggenheim kid actually ended up at Nicholls State. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what happened there. It doesn't matter. He's a running back now at Nicholls State, so they're in the FCS. I still keep my tabs on him. That's how I found out, because I Googled his name. You can't really forget Colin Guggenheim. I'm good with names, but that was a name that's never probably going to get away from my brain. That's never going to
come up again. And what I enjoyed about this game this year, too, is there was actually the forward pass in the game. I mean, there was a couple, about 10, 12 passes in the game, which was a rarity in that game. It was a lot of fun to see. What, is the quarterback dropping back? Holy, you know, that was fun. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was almost like they were trying to trick each other. it's like, we're going to throw it on this one.
What's the quarterback doing? He's not handing off to anyone. Oh, you know. You could throw it up in the air, which I always find the irony that the Navy was wearing jet fighters on their helmets. Like, yeah, you can pass forward. Exactly. You know, you can have a fly attack.
Speaking of fly attack, did you hear that Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, what's his name, Urban Meyer, got fired the other night?
He did?
Yeah, did you hear it? I just heard it.
I live in Florida. I haven't heard a thing about it yet. Wonder what's going on.
Oh, I got my Jags hat on.
I like it. I was going to say, go Herb. You know, you're supporting Herb.
Just a complete coincidence.
What happened?
I don't know. I think he kicked a kicker or something like that. That was.
He didn't kick the bucket. Didn't have a headache. Didn't want to see family.
Not this time. Where's he going to go?
Nowhere.
You don't think so? You think he's done?
I think he's going to take a sabbatical.
He's going to sit out again, go onto this Fox show or whatever.
I don't know if he's even going to go on Fox. I just think if he's smart, because I'm assuming he got some money out of the deal. I'm assuming.
Here we go. We're going to talk about this for a second. You know how much I hate money. Coaches never complain when they get fired. You never hear them come out and complain. Very, very rarely. I won't say ever. Very rarely. I think Butch Jones was complaining about something at Tennessee, like wrongly terminated or something.
Gruden did, with the Raiders, but he's not complaining about the payout. He is complaining that
Coach Ogeron walked 17 away.
$17 million.
Because he's getting the money on his contract. Coaches' contracts are guaranteed if they get fired. You never hear them complaining. They go away for a little while. Like, you won't hear Herb. You won't hear from Herb for a while. You won't even hear from him, because he's going to take his guaranteed paycheck and walk away.
If he's smart, that's what he does, because here's the thing, and you and I have talked about it for years, and we've even hinted around it about the show. Everywhere he has gone, there has been some story put underneath the rug, whether it be
every place.
You know, that, you know, whether it be Florida's arrest record, whether it be, you know, having killers on the team, whether it be
Ohio State, the trainer that was.
Yeah. And then he brings him to Jacksonville and, you know, the lap dance. And, you know, because how many lap dances does he have at Columbus where people just didn't? It's like, no, we ain't getting Coach fired.
Somebody said that I didn't see it, but there was a video of him, and it's coming to the surface that he was doing an interview somewhere, like on a boat or something. And there's a guy, and he's got a mirror behind him, and there's a guy walking in with no shirt on, in front of him. So it'd be like in front of his camera, and you see him in the reflection. And he went to spark up some marijuana or something like that. And Earp's like doing like this.
Yeah.
Because he obviously realized that you could see him in the mirror.
Yeah.
He's dirty, bro.
I just think I think he's dirty, and I don't think anyone knows. And this was said today on a radio show I was listening to. I don't think anyone knows the real Urban Meyer. I think he's completely fake.
You think coaches are fake?
I understand, and I think we've seen that as a prime example of the newest coach at LSU.
Oh, are you kidding me? His fan.
Holy fake.
His family got him a job down there.
Our family is so happy to be Louisiana State.
Family.
I mean,
sounds like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, yeah, but he looks like the little chick, you know. In the video that he did with, it's like, who are you? Because you weren't this guy at Notre Dame.
There are definitely fake coaches out there, no question.
You know, and they should write sales manuals. I mean, how they get these great jobs, millions of dollars. It's like, okay, how do I make myself
football.
Huh?
To coach football.
To coach, you know, and the word that's come up the past few weeks about the coaching carousel has been, these are CEOs. So, you know, they're CEOs of company, and the important line is to be profitable. And what equals profit wins. And that's it. It's like, okay, why am I going to fire a coach who's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars to their university because he continues to win? Mm-hmm. And it's business. It's horrible, but it's business. And but God, I didn't, you know, you always knew Herb was an asshole, and you always thought Kelly was an asshole, but God, the fakeness in one and the right in his head to think he can do anything he wants to on the other is just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm a Bobby Knight guy, but Bobby Knight never had his kids in trouble. Bobby Knight's guys became, you know, pillars to society and were good people and were good kids. And, you know, he was a jerk, no doubt about it. But however, he grew his kids up to be men. Where these guys,
old army guy, man. I mean, what else did he know? That's how he knew.
Krzyzewski is a West Point guy.
Same thing.
You know, so it's crazy. I mean, like I said, they got to be the best salesman in the world.
Normally they are. So best sales, and they can coach a little bit of football. Speaking of coaching a little bit of football, transfer portal is wide open. I don't mean to make this all fucking serious show tonight, but Jesus Christ.
How can the transfer portal not be serious? It's fun.
Why? Because there's 2,200 kids for 800 alleged spots. So 1,400 kids are going to go without a school. They're going to go to Sterling, Kansas to go to Sterling College, play NAIA or something. Hutchinson.
Do you think this might stop the dynasty? Dynasties?
What dynasty?
Well, let's say Alabama right now is a dynasty.
Yeah.
And I know kids will still go to Alabama, and kids will still go to Clemson, and kids will still go to Oklahoma. But do you think with kids going different locations to build up another program, do you think that will help maybe get more teams recognized? If it were
add a little parity to the whole landscape?
Yeah. No. You don't?
I don't, unfortunately, no, because they're going to go. None of these kids have ever been told that they're not the best. I mean, especially the kids that go to Bama. Like, those are the kids that are, you know, the top 100 recruits. They're the guys that I always had this thing in high, like when I was in college, looking at guys, especially when I worked with the Clemson basketball team, there were a couple of guys that were just unreal. And I just would think back, like, how good were they in high school? And I was very fortunate to watch Brevin Knight, who was a future NBA player, play 2 years in high school. I watched him play 4 years, but when I was in high school, he was 2 years older than me. And I knew how good he was, and he wasn't nearly, I mean, he did all right. He made it to the pros, so I guess he was okay. But he wasn't like Kevin Garnett in high school.
Right,
he wasn't
right.
Like some of these guys that you're just like, holy shit, how good were these guys in high school to come out here and be like, you know, these superstars in college. Mm-hmm. I think about it in every level, in every sport even.
Sure.
You know, even like Clemson just won the national championship in soccer. I look at a guy playing right back for Clemson, and I'm like, I wonder how many goals he scored as a midfielder in high school, because he was probably the best player or whoever those stars, and whatever the sport is. I'm just using that one.
Well, people might know midfielders now from Ted Lasso. So, I mean,
That's true.
They might know what you're talking about, you know?
Big soccer fans now.
Yeah. And you and I texted each other the other night with the group. And, you know, I said the Clemson Notre Dame soccer game was on. That was a great game.
It was a good game.
Yeah. It was a good game. I was like, holy smokes. You know, this is, I ended up watching it. So
they had, I don't mean to make this the Clemson soccer minute, but Clemson was clearly the number one team in the country last year.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly. I mean, you talk about talent. They had talent all over that field. They got knocked out by Marshall in the second round. Marshall ended up winning the whole thing. I don't know if that, you know, you never, you don't be that guy like, oh, we lost to the champ, we would have won.
Yeah.
We were not, I say we meaning Clemson. Clemson was not the best team in the country this year, and it was pretty clear, but somehow they won. And it's just so funny to me, that ball is perfectly round.
Mm-hmm.
And they take some funny bounces, man.
It does. Well, you see those guys and you see those YouTube interview or videos of people kicking a soccer ball and doing everything with it that you,
oh yeah,
that you could do with a pull cue stick. You know,
it's the easiest, in my opinion, it's what I played all my life. Right. So, I mean, it's the easiest thing to manipulate, I think, but it's just
really,
it's just amazing. It's just amazing to me that best team doesn't always win, but you know what? This year was my team. So fuck everybody.
That's all that matters. Now, if you want to get, you want to turn this conversation into fun?
Yeah.
Texas football.
Oh, here we go.
That's where I want to go to school or coach.
I know you just started on this podcast, you know, being my partner like a couple episodes ago, but you're going to need to segue that a little better.
Oh, well, if I want to have a lot of fun,
Speaking of
Austin and wear burnt orange and maybe even tattoo this symbol on my ass for Texas football, because those boys know how to have fun. They don't know how to win, but they know how to have fun.
That's damn right. What'd you say here? They're paying. I didn't know this, bro. Why do I say bro tonight? I've had some pops. Bro. That's why, bro. Yeah. They're paying. Wait till I start going, buddy.
Drinking more. Drink faster.
Yeah. I got my high noons. You wrote here they're paying $58 million for two coachouts with two coaches, with one with a buyout.
Yeah, you had a Herman's buyout.
Which
was like $25 million. So that's why you don't hear anything about him.
You'll never will. Yeah, no, he's good. And he's not coaching.
Yeah, he's not coaching. Isn't he an NFL like assistant or something like that? And then they gave Sark $30 million. So there's $50 million they spent on four. They spent $58 million for their first six-game losing streak since 70 years ago. They've got a coach that has a stripper girlfriend who has a pet monkey that bit a kid in Halloween.
Right, not the head coach. We don't want to talk ill about our boys.
No, the assistant coach. And by the way, his girlfriend's name is the pole assassin. That's tremendous. And then you have...
She assassinates poles.
She assassinates poles. She destroys.
I think there's a double entendre there.
You think?
I don't know.
And now you have a Texas Longhorn player that took pictures of him having sex with a girl from Oklahoma State. And he's posted the pictures, and they're considered revenge porn. How awesome is this place?
So he's going to jail.
Maybe. If it gets an Austin, Texas judge, you might just get one game suspension.
Against directional Louisiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are going to the SEC. I'm sure that will happen. But
that will help.
Also signed that Quinn Ewers kid from the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And apparently, no one knows this, but it's not confirmed. People know it. He's got a $4 million NIL deal. The kid played four snaps at Ohio State. He had a $1 million NIL deal in Columbus. And now, I don't know if he got all that money. I think it was conducive to him actually playing football. But now he's got $4 million NIL deal in Austin. Pretty good living for these kids.
You got a $4 million quarterback.
Yep.
You've got strippers with assistant coaches and monkeys.
A lawsuit there too. The neighbor filed a lawsuit because the monkey bit the kid.
You got revenge porn on a phone. This is the place to be, man. And Austin, Texas is a good town.
So Saban told them not to go. He's like, you might want to rethink that one.
Of course Saban did. You know, and we talked about beginning of the year. It's like, okay, how hard is it to coach 4 and 5 stars? You know, and you don't have – you're not the CEO type, Sark. I'm sorry. You know, just not. And
yeah. It couldn't happen to a better fan base, you know? I don't know much about Texas fan base, but from what I hear from two
privileged
friends of the show that live in Texas –
They
may know.
It's just like SEC fans. It's like, we're the best.
Did you hear the story, though? The real story. We waited 45 minutes tonight to tell the story as to why we actually even came on the show tonight. We were talking a little bit about the transfer portal. Of course, I get sidetracked, right? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
Blocked user. I don't know. We got something last night, too. Like, there's some weird stuff going on in the comment section. Living on the island, man. But before I got off the rails, like our introduction shows, the transfer portal is wide open, and the favorite player of Chop and Beef Show history. Well, maybe the second favorite player. Who was that kid that was out there playing at Washington State?
Well, you had Puka too. Will Heckman.
Puka.
And he's a running back somewhere.
All right, so the third favorite player ever, right, outside of Nick Punto. Punto! Oh! Michael Penix Jr. He transferred.
Gone.
He's gone.
He left the Who's Your Daddy of Indiana.
And where'd
he go?
To go
to the left coast.
He's hanging to the left a little bit.
He's hanging to the left. He's going to be a dog.
It was a long, hard decision for Michael
Penix. His head must have been throbbing to come up with an answer that's best for him.
Oh, yeah.
Throbbing.
You know, some of these other schools were shooting blanks, trying to get him to come to campus.
Well, I mean, if you're living in Bloomington, Indiana, where else would you shoot your wad instead of Seattle, Washington?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's good. That's good town.
We wish him nothing but the best. And speaking of Penix, the Cox got a big transfer with Spencer Rattler.
His career's over.
Yeah, I think so too. And Keaton Slovis, he went somewhere.
Yeah, where'd he go?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
No, I don't. Did he sign somewhere?
But you know how great this is? It's like, I love it because, as we were talking about tonight with baseball quickly, this is a new free agent period for college athletes now.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well,
I mean, it's great, but it's terrible. I love it. I love this, watching these kids go to different places. You know, my big fear, it just tells you that I'm getting older. Like, these kids that get left out, you'll never hear from again. So, like, every time a kid from that, there's seven kids in the transfer or were in the transfer portal from Clemson, my school.
Right.
That every time I see them announce where they're going, it's like, oh, all right, good. They're taken care of. You know, there's three guys going to University of South Florida. There's a guy that signed today or committed today to Georgia Tech. There's another, a running back went to West Virginia. So, like, five of the seven are spoken for. The other two will be just fine too, I'm sure. But just taking a little bit longer, the quarterback and the receiver. Slovis hasn't signed anywhere, but they're talking. One of the Auburn players outwardly was trying to recruit him to Auburn. So you might see.
Bo Slovis. Nix. Where'd Bo Nix go?
Nowhere yet. Nowhere yet. Oh, yes.
I thought he did. Okay.
The quarterback, Max Johnson from LSU, transferred to Texas A&M.
All right, that's Brad Johnson's kid.
Brad Johnson's kid, yep. Yeah. And his little brother's just signed with A&M as well. He's a tight end. So they're both, there was rumors that they were going to go to Florida State, but they're heading to Jimbo. Because Brad went to Florida State.
Brad went to Florida State.
Texas A&M.
He was a Bobby guy.
It's crazy, though. So I say that negative piece about me just not liking it because I want these kids to actually, like, there's going to be forgotten kids. It's like those kids that would leave for the NBA draft and then not get drafted, and they weren't coming back to school because they declared their professionalism. So, like, right. Where
they sit out, or
they're going overseas. Europe, you know. Yeah, they're going overseas, but some of them don't, and some of them don't end up even doing anything. And it just so anyway, that's me being a dad now and acting like I give a shit. But it is fun when these kids go. The free agency piece is actually a lot of fun. No
it's amazing. And you know, I hate to, I don't hate to say it, I'm just looking at facts. You know, most of these kids came from backgrounds of dirt. I mean, so, you know, your offensive lineman, defensive tackle, you came from pretty poor areas. I mean, quarterbacks are quarterbacks. Those guys have gone to training camps and quarterback camps since they were five or six. And that's mommy and daddy could afford it. But you know, if you're, you know, receivers or, you know, any other position in sport and football, you know, you're getting, you're getting a chance to make some dough, and that's always, and that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing.
So. Yeah, grass isn't always greener, though. I mean, sometimes, you know.
Oh, like no.
Rattler's a great name, and obviously South Carolina is the rival school of mine. Mm-hmm. I think he will make a difference, and he will solidify that position for them. But their problem wasn't really – I mean, it was a little bit of quarterback, but it wasn't – that wasn't the big glaring problem. They couldn't stop the run.
Right.
And they had no offensive line. Mm-hmm. So no one was really sure – about how good their quarterbacks were or weren't because they couldn't protect them. So now you're going to bring in this stud quarterback who, by all accounts, was great 2 years ago with Oklahoma. Struggled this year, got benched for another five-star quarterback.
Yep.
Now he transfers to a place. He brings his tight end with him. And so, like, you know, he's got some weapons there at South Carolina, if I'm trying to be not biased. But they still got to protect him. So if they don't protect him, he's not going to play. And they're going to be right back into the same position they were this year, where they're looking for a grad assistant coach to play quarterback for him. So
I think Beamer is changing the culture over there.
He's Dabo. No one likes to hear it. He's Dabo. He's preaching family. He's preaching all in, like, be together.
One, togetherness, family. Family. He had a great dad for that, you know. So
it's hard not to like him.
I mean, yeah, it would not be, because I think Clemson is going to come back to being themselves. And if you have South Carolina coming up, that might be the best football state in the country here in about a year or two.
Well, look, that rivalry game will be awful important again.
A lot more fun. Yeah. So that's something people better keep an eye on, because sure as hell, Florida isn't going to be that. Florida's going to be that five school, you know, state like California. It's like, okay, who's going to be good these couple of years?
Who's going to be
good, you know. So we'll see. You know, the big news is Cristobal and Billy Napier in Florida has kind of gone through the, you know, gone down deep because Cristobal was a big hire. I think it opens up for prime time when Norvell gets fired for not doing what he's supposed to do.
So I wasn't going to bring this up, but the number one prospect, Travis Hunter is his name. He's a running back, spurns Florida State. He's the number one overall player in this class. Spurns Florida State to go play for Deion at Jackson State, not to be confused with Jacksonville State, Jackson State.
And got $2 million.
Allegedly. Portnoy said that's hogwash. Deion said it's hogwash, but that's the rumor, right? Yeah. You got at least a mil, I heard. You're saying two, which is probably out there as well.
Well, anyway, it's a reality show connected to it.
My thing – oh, that's right. That's right. You're correct. Yeah. You want to do like a life – you're in the life of.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. You know, the Norvell may get fired with another – and I didn't think they were terrible this year, but they still had – ways to go, but he may get fired in the next year or so. So then I think the first call for Florida State has to be Deion, especially if he keeps winning 10 games at Jackson State.
He's the coach of the year this year.
And you don't think Hunter's going to follow Deion to Florida State? So I'm exactly. Like, these Florida State kids or fans are getting all up in arms. It's like, relax, you're going to get him as a junior. You know, you're going to get him anyway. He's coming.
I think it's almost inevitable.
Yeah, I really do. And Deion may have even recruited him that way. Like, hey, come change your culture. Now, Eddie George is coaching at a historically black school.
And they just won their bowl game.
Who else? There's somebody else that's coaching. Willie Simmons, who was a Clemson quarterback, is at Florida A&M. Like, there's some decent names that are out there coaching in HBCU. They're trying to get those players to their schools, but yeah,
it's the greatest promotion.
I really believe that Deion, and people called me crazy yesterday when I said it, but I think Deion gets that Florida State job eventually.
Oh, I too.
And this kid goes right along with him.
I do not doubt that one bit.
Makes sense, right?
I completely agree. And that's the other thing, you know, here's these, you know, black colleges that are doing so well and they're building up. Then the most historical black college in the country, Grambling, hires Hugh Jackson. I'm like, what the? I mean, the guy's won two games out of 60 as a head coach. It's like, what are you guys doing? You know, it's like, oh my God.
Wasn't there a few years
You're
though?
Eddie Robinson school. You're the most wins ever.
That's yeah, okay. That was he. Didn't they go through a run where they weren't winning though too?
They had towards the end. Doug Williams coached there after.
So it was after Robinson.
Yeah, it was after Eddie Robinson. Eddie just got old, man. I think he retired at 80.
Yeah, he was old.
Legend. Oh, classic legend. I mean, being a Chiefs fan, you know, a lot of the Chiefs back in the AFL days and the AFC, they always used to go to the black colleges and find these guys to bring up and to play because Kansas City had a historically proper history of treating black athletes well, from the Kansas City Monarchs, you know, baseball team, then the Negro Leagues to the Chiefs and all that. So it was like Hank Stram used to go all over those African-American colleges and found a lot of great players.
All right. Well, apparently I got blood on my hands from picking a scab on my leg. So that's good. Blood on this episode. We have everything on this episode.
Jesus. Does it taste like Tito's?
Yeah, kind of does. All right. So enough of this college football talk. I know we pride ourselves on college football podcast, but that we did way too much time on that.
Yeah.
Before we end this, you had a couple topics here. I want you to lead in if you put you on the spot here. What are these topics? I'll answer questions. What do you got before we...
Passing lanes. What the hell's happened to passing lanes?
Give me a story. What do you got?
Went to Savannah a couple weeks ago. You all know. We talked about it.
Yeah.
And there seems to be some asshole that's causing a 12-car pot, not pileup, but a caravan, because the jerk that's in the passing lane refuses to go above 70. That's wrong.
Man. I remember it.
And they got their slow. People are slowing down and hitting on brakes for no reason. Because you have that one jerk off in the passing lane going 70.
I hate it.
All the way down.
That's my least favorite thing on the planet. You know that. You've driven with me before.
Yeah. Have you noticed it?
Oh, yeah, but it's look at the license plate. That's the first thing I do. Look at the license plate. It's not from where you're from.
No, but
it's usually somebody visiting. I remember when I was living in Florida and I'd start January, February, March, that time where everyone wants to be in Florida because it's cold as hell everywhere else. And I'd be going to work and generally wasn't late, but let's just say for this story's cause, I was like running late. And there's a bunch of little back roads that I would take, especially when I lived in Wesley Chapel, to get a cut across and get down to get to I-4 to go to Orlando, where I spent most of my life.
Right.
And not at Disney, and the place is a fucking cesspool. But anyway, I love Orlando. So I'd be going and it's like the car in front of you in a 2-lane road is like doing 14 miles an hour in a 60. And they're like, oh, look, Mildred, a palm tree. That is so nice, Mildred. Let's stop and look at it longer. Okay. And you look at the license plate and it says Ohio.
Okay. I tried to observe that. A lot of these people were from the same state. There was a few that weren't. However, they weren't old Mildred. These are people like our age and younger, I guess, that think that they have the right to do whatever the hell they want to do.
Millennials, gotta love them.
And it's whatever. It's like, no, I'm gonna make people enforce the law. You know.
A MP Cole, an MP Coleman. I don't know who that is. MP.
Who's that guy?
It's an egghead. He's got eggs on his head, I think. Says, is that locks to the right of JJ? It does look like. No, he's smiling. He's smiling. He's smiling. It's not
he's smiling. Locks. But he doesn't have an ass either, just like Eddie.
And locks.
That's what I've just noticed. It's like, it's not always the old people. It's people from the same state, and they're just like ho-humming along and pretty much just looking at you like, I don't care. It's like, Get the fuck out of the way.
We're definitely those old people now. But yeah, when I was doing it in Florida, it was always that I-75 corridor. You had people in Tennessee doing 14 miles an hour, Michigan, Ohio, that
Canadians.
Come down, Buffalo, that would come down 75. And just
people
be like,
look,
there's a piece of trash on the side of the road. Let's slow down and look at it for a
minute. Is that one of them daggum palmetto plants?
You got them palmetto bugs down here, too?
We got them things we call cockroaches.
So, you got this top three event thing? Let's do that. To
close that's right. I forgot. Okay. We're copying.
Oh, this is a
top three of top three events you've ever been to. Could be sports, could be concerts. Yeah.
All right, in order.
That has to be in order. It could be whatever the hell you want to be.
Do number three, but not life events.
It
not
can
life
be, events. Yeah, no, it doesn't count weddings, birth of your child, any of that stuff.
Yeah,
birth it could be a child. Theater performance, because I know you're big in the theater.
I am. It would
be. Could be sports, could be concert.
All right, number three, I'll go Rose Bowl 2014.
All right.
Wasn't even my team.
All right.
Number two, it's all going to be sports, isn't it? Let me do five. Can I do five?
Do five.
Number five. James Taylor concert.
Oh God, you are old.
I'm old, and it was so unexpected. I ended up there. Like, I wasn't even supposed to go. Didn't even know I liked his music. It was fucking awesome. He puts on a heck of a show. If you like
James
shows,
Taylor.
James Taylor, number five. Number four, Horde Festival, 1994. Open Dave. This group out of Charlottesville, Virginia, I'd never heard of. Dave Matthews Band opened up the show. Then Big Head Todd and the Monsters. Then who was after them? I think it was Allman Brothers. It was just a great show. There was another band in there, too, that I missed. Oh, Blues Traveler. So it was Dave Matthews Band, Big Head Todd and the Monster, Blues Traveler, and then Allman Brothers. It was awesome.
Yeah,
fantastic. Apparently, this Dave Matthews guy made it big, but I haven't heard too much.
I heard he did okay.
Number three, what did I say number three before was? The Rose Bowl 2014, just the majesty of that place. I didn't believe it until I stepped foot into it.
A tradition like no other.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Number two, I'll say College World Series when I went with you in 2009. Probably the second best event I've ever been to. My favorite, I love college baseball. And I'd be remiss. I'm sorry. I know it's so on brand for me, but I have to say 2016 national championship in Tampa, Clemson, and Alabama. Although 2015 national championship in Phoenix would probably be number six.
But do you remember it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was the weird one. I was drinking Tito's all damn day and drunk the night before and from in Las Vegas, like fighting off the pukes on the way down. It was bad. Like my friend had like her stomach stapled like 3 weeks before and had extra stomach settling medicine. She gave it to me. It changed my life forever that day.
Nice.
But it was one of those things like I was really pretty drunk, but at the same time, I remember everything about it. It was a lot of fun. I danced outside the stadium afterwards, made Chad Yarber really uncomfortable. It was a lot of fun.
Gotcha.
We sang Train. How about you? Do your top five.
All right. Kind of off the grid. The last midnight mass at Notre Dame before it burned down.
That's good.
Dave Matthews at Scott Field at UVA, his last concert of the year, which was about 4 hours and a complete cloud of smoke. You didn't have to bring any. It was wonderful. Number three would be the national title. Clemson, Alabama, because that was the best football game I've ever seen live.
That's good.
Two would be the College World Series.
Nice.
Number one, Game 5, 2016 World Series, Chicago Cubs.
There you go.
That would be mine.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And if That's I had a six, it would be Ted Healy's last performance of Jesus Christ Superstar. Because he played Jesus longer than Jesus actually lived. I'm like, gee, yeah, holy shit. And he still could wail. I mean, he was like in his 60s and he was like, just, you know, that was amazing.
I saw Colm Wilkinson play Jean Valjean, and he was the longest Jean Valjean. He was the originator of that in Les Mis. I got to see him in New York, and that was pretty cool too. So that would probably be seven or eight
yeah,
for me too. And then I saw, who was Joey Fat One? from one of those boy bands that played Mark in Rent in New York City. I saw that too. It was pretty cool too.
Well, the guy who was played Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar was the lead singer of Cult of Personality. That band.
Nice.
And he wailed. I was like, holy shit.
I did that show in high school. We did that show my freshman year.
Yeah, who'd you play?
Doubting Thomas.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
On that note, we'll end this mess. We'll say bye to everybody, both of you. I doubt we even had a show tonight.
We just bullshitted.
We literally just bullshitted for an hour and 5 minutes. We gave some opinion, though. You pulled some opinion out of me.
You going to have a Christmas show?
Is that next Thursday? Is it Christmas?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'm here. I'm available next Thursday. We'll see. It might be you and me again.
You know why? Because, I mean, no one's doing shit on Christmas Day anyway. And
wait, so today's the 17th. Yesterday was the 16th. So 7 days.
The 23rd.
Yeah, we'll do a show on the 23rd.
We should be drunk for that one.
Yeah, well, I was trying to tonight, but I'll do better next
week. Drink fast enough.
On behalf of Zach Locks Parker.
Love you, buddy.
And JJ.
Locks sent me that Kansas City sauce, man. Kansas City Chiefs sauce. Thank you, brother.
We appreciate that very much.
That was awesome.
He stood me up on our lunch date the other day, so that's cool. And JJ in Tampa, I am Casey the Beef Krieg, and we will see you next week right here on the Chopping Beef Show. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you soon. Say goodnight, JJ.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
We got one more week.
Feliz Navidad. Vivea, what the fuck? I don't know what else.